Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Nun Beis. In our previous shiur, we were discussing the journey of the Kohen Gadol through the Heichal in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim for offering the incense Ketores offering. We discussed the presence of a curtain, or possibly two curtains, that separated the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Heichal. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall measuring an amo thick between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara in Bava Basra in the first perek describes that there wasn't a wall anymore because of the increased height. A wall wouldn't stand, architecturally or engineering-wise in a secure fashion because of the increased height. So a curtain was used instead to separate the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We saw an opinion that there were two curtains with one amo between them, and that was a function of the uncertainty regarding the sanctity status of the spot occupied by the wall, the amo thickness of floor space that had been occupied in the first Beis HaMikdash by the amo traxin. The term traxin has to do with a, for our purposes, it's a reference to the wall. The Rashi and the Tosfos describe, get involved with what's the basis of that word, traxin. But for our purposes, it's a reference to the wall measuring an amo thick. What status did that amo of floor space have? Did it have the status of the Heichal or of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? If it had the status of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so one wouldn't be able to walk there at all, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol once a year. If it had the status of the Heichal, so it was something, it was an area that could be walked in every day by Kohanim who needed to do avoda in the Heichal itself. So regarding that topic, we will be opening our Gemara. We have a topic heading on the side. Under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Omar Rabbi Nosson. Devir, the word devir is an expression that you find in Psukim, in the Tanakh, and it's a reference to the amo traxin. In this context, it's a reference to that wall, or that amo space between the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Lo yichriu boi chachomim. The Chachomim, according to Rabbi Nosson, the Chachomim did not settle the matter. HaGemara Tziladas Bameh Hoyos Sveiko. The Gemara wants to know, what was the basis of the Sufik? So now we turn to the Gemara, 4 lines from the top. Omer Rabbi Nosson, Amo Traxin. That's the Amo thick wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim, between the Heichal and the Holy of Holies. Lo Hichriu Bo Chachomim I Kilifnim I Kilichutz. The Chachomim did not settle. They didn't decide whether it has the status of Lifnim, of the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, or outside of that, the Heichal. A long question begins here. And the essence of this long question basically is, why was there any doubt? Now, you'll see on this side, we have a Mivneh heading with triangles appearing in 2 different directions. So with the triangle point facing upwards, that is a suggestion, and the flipped over triangle is a rejection. So you'll be able to follow the give and take of this Gemara navigating with the triangle. So if you look at this Omid, you'll see that a large portion of this Omid is dedicated to Ravina's question. In other words, what was their, trying to understand what was their problem. So in determining the wall sanctity, or the Amo status, the Amo thickness status, after the long question, you'll notice an answer, a teretz, a tuflet's encircled, representing a response, and the issue will be forthcoming, clarification of what was not clear when it says here, lo hichru bo chachamim, what was not clear, that will be explained in the answer later. So the whole omid is made up basically of a question, and then a response, and then that will be followed by a question, three lines from the bottom, that will carry us to the top of Omid Beis. So now the Gemara. Rabbi Nosson mentioned that the Amo Traxin, that wall, the thickness of it being an Amo, wasn't decided whether it's considered like Kilifnim e Kilichutz. Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina asks, my taima, what is the problem? E lemo mishum dichtiv, if it is because of the following pasuk. It says, Vabayis asher bona hamelech Shlomo l'Hashem, the structure, the house that Shlomo the king built for Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, Shishim Amo Orko, Ve'esrim Rochboi, U'shloshim Amo Kemoso. It measured 60 Amos in length. That would be its east-west dimension, 60 Amos. Its width, north-south, measuring 20 Amos. Height, 30 Amos, Uksiv. Posuk says, Varboim Bo Amo Hoyo Habayis Hu HaHechal Lifnoi. The Hechal section measured 40 amos. Uksiv, Lufnei Hadvir Esrim Amo Oirech, Ve'esrim Amo Roichav, Ve'esrim Amo Klimoso. Lufnei Hadvir would be the inner sanctum. The Dvir is the Mechitza, the separation between the Hechal and the Kodesh HaKodashim. So within that, there was an area that measured 20 long, 20 wide, and 20 of height. It was a 20 amo cubic area. The lo yadinon, and here the issue of doubt might come up. The lo yadinon, and we don't know, amo traxin, that wall that divided the Kodesh Goshen from the Kodesh, from the Hechal, e mei hani esrim, the e mei hani harboim. And I don't know if it's from the If the Amo measure was that one Amo was part of the 20 of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the one Amo was part of the 40 of the Heichal. Now, is that what was the doubt? So the Gemara says no. V'dilma lo mei hani esrim v'lo mei hani arboim. That doesn't have to be an issue of doubt. It could very well be that Amo thickness was not of the 20, nor of the 40. The halola kochoshiv, koislim loy kochoshiv. The psukim that we mentioned till now, where you saw the hechal being measured in 40 amas, and the kodesh goshen 20 amas, those are measures of airspace, of halal, of vacuum, of airspace, not including wall thicknesses. Teda, and it should be known, the whole hechal de kochoshiv koislim, where measure is referenced, measure of walls is referred to, choshev le l'didei. The amotraxin is mentioned. In other words, and if you have if you have literature that deals with wall measures, it will acknowledge the wall thickness, the devir or the amotraxin will appear in an explicit fashion. And here we're not quoting a pasuk, but we're quoting a Tanaic source where you see the amotraxin, and you can see if you just skim ahead in the source, in this frame section, you notice the dashed underline amotraxin, that's a reference to one amo. We're going to be dealing with numbers and the need to add up a series of numbers as we go along, but the amotraxin is featured. So that therefore, the pasukim before, they weren't dealing with wall thicknesses, they were dealing with airspace measures. And here we continue in the Gemara Disnan. We have the following source that will feature the wall thickness of that amotraxin. Disnan, hahechal mea al mea beru mea. The hechal measured 100 length, 100 width, height, 100 amas. And here we are going to make the 100 amot calculation. So here all we have to do is add up numbers. Kaisel ulam chamesh, v'ulam achasisre. So we have 5 and 6, 5 and 11, that is. That gives you 16 amos. Kaisel haechal sheish. That's 16 plus 6 is 22. V'orkoi arboim amo, and the length 40. So you add, and that's 40 and the 22 that we had till that point, 62. The amo traxin, that's 1 amo, 63. The chof amo beis kodshei kodashim, that's another 20, 83. Kaisel hahechal sheish, the thickness of the hecha wall, 6. That gets you to 89. And v'hato sheish, the tall is a chamber, was another 6 amos. That's 89 and 6 is 95. V'kaisel hato, the thickness of the tall wall, 5. Chomesh, 100. So we have no... We shouldn't have any doubt as far as the Amo Traxin is concerned, where Rabbi Nosson began by saying the Amo Traxin, the Chachamim didn't decide. Is it considered part of the Kodesh HaKodoshim, or is it part of the Heichal? Well, very simply, it's not part of either. It's an Amo wall dividing the Kodesh HaKodoshim from the Heichal. And numbers that we saw before in the Psukim, 20 Amos for Kodesh HaKodoshim and 40 Amos for the Heichal, those were numbers referring to the airspace of those areas. So what's the doubt? What's the issue? What's the concern here? Elo Kedusha say, this is the concern. And this is what we actually explained at the outset of today's shiur. Maybe we were guilty of over-explaining, but here it is. The issue of the sanctity of that one amo, I kilifnim, I kilichutz. That one amo, did it have lifnim, Kodesh HaKodoshim, sanctity, or lachutz, or heichal, sanctity? And we pointed out in our introductory remarks that if it has Kodesh HaKodoshim sanctity, so an ordinary kohen would not be able to walk there at all during the year, and a kohen gadol would be allowed there only once a year on Yom Kippur. If it's kilachutz, it would have the status of the heichal, which was something that people entered every day. V'hainu di Omar Rabbi Yochanan. And it's based on this issue, this doubt, that Rabbi Yochanan makes the following observation. Boy Yosef Ish Hutzal. Yosef Ish Hutzal asked. And what happens now in the Gemara is a posuk is quoted, and Yosef Ish Hutzal shows that there is a lack of clarity in how to understand this posuk. In other words, the posuk can be understood two different ways. And this doubt, this lack of clarity, has to do with the Kedusha, with the sanctity, and this is the basis. This is an answer. I know it sounds like this is a question. The question is the answer. In other words, we were looking for what is the basis for Rav Nosson, 4 lines from the top, where he opened up today's shiur with some issue of doubt on the part of the Chovim. Here we will see the issue of the doubt. What was the basis of the doubt? So Yosef Ish Utzal, as reported by Rabbi Yochanan, cites a pasuk, Udvir Besoch Habayis Mipnimo Heichin L'sitein Shom Es Aroin Bris Hashem. So the pasuk, without a direct translation, is a reference to there was a wall in the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash, on the other side of which the Holy Ark would be placed. The Holy Ark is the Aroin Bris Hashem, the Ark of the Covenant. Ibayalaho, and the question is raised, Heichi Ka'amar Kra, how are we to understand this pasuk? And here it's presented in a aleph, Odilma, the next line is squiggle line, the Odilma, Bay's structure, two sides of the question. When looking at the pasuk, do you read it as Udvir Besochabayas, Mipnimo Heichen L'sitein Shom? And that would mean that the dvir is within the heichal, and on the other side, within the dvir, mipnima means on the inside edge of the dvir. There you would have the oron placed. so that the Dvir itself is not part of that inner Kedusha, the Holy of Holy sanctity. The Rashi explains, Mipnimo Hechin, Ulefnime Oysa Mechitza, from the inside of that wall, Hechin Mokom Chalola. There was a cavity or an airspace that was set up, Vezminoi Lose Shom Es Oron, and it was Hizmino, it was designated to have the Oron placed over there. Almo Dvir Gufei, this would then reveal that the Dvir itself, that Mechitz itself, Lav Mikedushas Pnim Hu, it did not occupy or enjoy that inner sanctity. It was on the inside edge of the wall that this high level Kedusha Kedushim sanctity began, but not the wall itself. Oy Dilma, we turn back to the Gemara, or possibly Hochi Komar. Thusly, you read the pasuk. Udvir besoch habayis mipanima. The wall, the dvir, which was that wall itself, is part of the panima, the inner sanctum. Now, if you read it like that, so then that amo thickness would be part of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So what we've described is the basis of Reb Nosson's doubt, the Amor thickness that the wall of the first Beis HaMikdash occupied between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim, what type of sanctity did it have, and the basis of Reb Nosson's doubt is this Pasuk. It's a Pasuk from Sefer Melachim, and we emphasize the source as we go on in the Gemara. Sefer Melachim. That's a book from a section of the Tanakh known as the Prophets, in contrast to the Chumash made of the five books of Moses, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Gemara asks, Umi Mesafka Lei, would Yosef Ishutzal have a doubt concerning that Pasuk? V'ha Tanya, we have the following source. Isi ben Yehuda, and it should be pointed out that, and we'll see this at the top of Omid Beis, that Isi ben Yehuda and Yosef Ish Hutzal are one in the same. So we're reading now Isi ben Yehuda, bearing in mind that it's the same person as is just with a different name, Yosef Ish Hutzal. And Isi ben Yehuda, i.e. Yosef Ish Hutzal, says, Chomesh mikros b'Torah ein lohem hechreya. There are five psukim in the Torah where you don't know which direction they are going in. And the Gemara now on the top of Omid Beis lists off the five psukim. We are not, in the context of our Gemara marking, we're not going to get involved in the psukim themselves and what the doubt that rests behind them in fact is. But we are here just to make the point that there are five psukim that are not clear and how to read them and how to punctuate them. But those five psukim that are alluded to at the top of Amud Beis do not include this pasuk from Sefer Melachim. So if this be the case, then why does Yosef Ish Hutzal, who is Isi Ben Yehuda, claim that the pasuk that we read before from Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yutes, which read Udvir Besoch Habayis Mitnima, etc., why does he have any doubt about it when that's not in the list of psukim that he claims are murky or doubtful or unclear or obscure? There are five that are obscure, not any more than that. So what are the five? So they're alluded to here at the top of Omid Beis. Se'es Mishukadim Mochor Orur Vekom. Five psukim, Rashi elaborates. And of those five, there is no reference to the pasuk from Melachim that we saw already. Vitanya, and further information that's extremely important, is to know that who Yosef Ish Hutzal. And here there are a list of names. They're all the same person. He had a lot of names. So Yosef Ish Hutzel, who Yosef HaBavli, who Isi Ben Yehuda, who Isi Ben Gur Aryeh, who Isi Ben Gamliel, who Isi Ben Mahalalel, Umashmo, what was his given name, at his bris, what was his given name? Isi Ben Akiva Shmo. As to why he has so many names, that's beyond the purview of our shiur. But what is important is that which we dashed underlined. Noticing Yosef Ish Hutzel and Isi Ben Yehuda are one and the same. Isi Ben Yehuda, i.e. Yosef Ish Hutzel, says there are five unclear psukim. So how can it be that that same person, Yosef Ish Hutzel, had a doubt concerning a pasuk that's not in this list? The Gemara says, no problem. Bidoraiso leko b'nedavi iko. In as far as the Torah is concerned, the five books of Moses, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, that's referred to by the term Oiraisa. In the Torah, there are only five, and the five psukim listed at the top, and as we said, Rashi elaborates, those are in the Torah. So within the Torah, there are five obscure or doubtful type psukim. When we say doubtful, it means in which direction do they go, or doubt concerning how to punctuate them. But in Nevi, when it comes to the prophets, amongst which is our pasuk with the Devir featured in it, the pasuk from Sefer Melachim, which is part of the Nevi, Ika, there are psukim, there are other psukim. Beyond the five mentioned above, there are other psukim that are doubtful. And doubtful means how to punctuate them, as we demonstrated earlier, when learning Yosef Ish Hutzel's doubt, which was the basis of Rabbi Nosson at the beginning of today's shiur. The Gemara asks a question. You said just now that in the Torah there are only five unclear psukim. Ubedoraisa. This question lasts a couple of lines. The Gemara asks, Ubedoraisa leka, is that really so that in the Torah there are no other examples? Well, Ika deboy Rav Chisda. There is the pasuk that was the basis of Rav Chisda's question. Now, this is a pasuk from Shmos, Perek Chof Dalet, pasuk Hey, and we will show that there is an issue of a we call it a punctuation type doubt. This pasuk describes the event of the giving of the Torah and the encampment of the Jews around Mount Sinai, and there were korbanos, there were sacrifices that were brought, and it says that there were Ola sacrifices that were brought, and other kinds of sacrifices, including Shlomim sacrifices. The Pasuk mentions explicitly in the context of the Shlomim sacrifice that they were brought in the form of cows, Purim. When describing the Ola, or making when mention was made of the Ola sacrifice, so the type of animal was not said in a very explicit fashion, leaving room to think that maybe the Ola, like the Shlomim, was a cow, or possibly the Ola was brought in a sheep form, unlike the Shlomim, which were brought as cows. And that is what we're going to see very shortly. And we have to make note, we're going to be reading a pasuk in the middle of the Gemara. You're going to see a bracketed word. The bracketed word is, in fact, the issue of the doubt. It's not in the Torah. It's not a word found in the Torah. It's part of the explanation in our question, which we break down as Aleph Oy Dilma Beis, two ways of reading the pasuk. But we caution that the word that you will see in brackets, the word kvasim that you see on the next line, is not in the Torah itself. It's simply a possibility in how to read the pasuk and how to understand more accurately and how to understand the pasuk. So it says, and this is Rav Chisda's question, Vayishlach es narei b'nei Yisrael vayalu oilois, and the young people of Israel offered olah sacrifices. Now that those olah sacrifices, maybe they were kvasim. Vayizbechu zvachim shlomim l'Hashem porim. The pasuk goes on to say that after they offered olos, they also offered zvachim, korbanos of shlomim, that were cows. So that's one way of understanding the Ola reference, that the Ola were sheep. Oy Dilma. Or possibly Edi Vidi Poreb. And that means that the Olas and the Shlomim were cow offerings. And then when you read that Pasuk, you go back a line, and it said, Vayalu Oilois Vayizbechu Zvachim Shlomim Porim. They offered Olos and Shlomim that were all Porim. So we have two ways of understanding that Vayalu Olos. Were the Olos Kvosim, or were the Olos Purim? Well, so there you have an example of a vagueness in the Pasuk, and that its root could very well be in what's the issue of punctuation. Do you read Vayalu Olos and then pause, and then that would lead you to say that the Olos were something else, they were sheep, or you read Vayalu Olos, Vayizbuch Zvachim, you read it as a continuum, and if that's the case, then Olos are connected with the continuation of the Pasuk, leading Olos to be, in fact, cows. So there's an issue of cantillation or punctuation. Cantillation marks are, in fact, do serve as punctuation. So that's a doubt. It's not clear. So is it this? And this is a Pasuk from the Chumash, from the Chamisha Chumashi Torah, for the Gemara called Oiraisa. So the Gemara explains, L'Rav Chisda Mesavli, it's true, for Rav Chisda this was a doubt. However, L'Isi Ben Yehuda, Pshita L'Isi Ben Yehuda, or Yosef Ish Utsal that we saw before, he had clarity on this, exactly what his maskona, what his conclusion was, that the Gemara doesn't reveal. But that was not something, this pasuk of Vayishlach Esnari Bnei Yisrael, Vayalu Olos, was not something that bothered, that was vague in the mind of Isi Ben Yehuda. What was vague to him? So as far as the Chumash is concerned, the Chamisha Chumashi Torah, only five psukim. In addition to that, we saw a pasuk in Sefer Melachim that was also an issue of, was vague regarding the Dvir. But as far as this last question of the Gemara is concerned, regarding the pasuk of Vayalu Olos, that was not something that bothered Isi Ben Yehuda. We continue with the Mishnah, again focusing on the Poroches. And the journey of the Kohen Gadol to the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Hachitzona. Now, this Mishnah is working with the assumption that there were two curtains, an outer one. Chitzona means the outer one. Hachitzona hoisa prufa min adorom. It was rolled back from the southern side, and this would be like we saw Reb Yehuda before in our previous shiur. Be like Reb Yehuda's opinion, and not like Reb Yossi, nor like Rebbe Meir. Rashi here says Rabbonon ko amri lo. The Rabbonon say this, and we're adding that's as opposed to Reb Yossi and Reb Meir that we saw in our previous discussion, previous shiur. So the outer curtain, the outer was the more easterly. We're going in it from east to west, moving from the Heichal to the Kodesh Kedoshim. There were two curtains. The easterly, more easterly one was rolled back from its southern edge. The Upnimis, the more inner curtain, was rolled back from its northern edge. So when the Kohen Gadol would enter from the southern edge, he would then, at that point, be standing between two curtains. He would have to make a right turn, and about he'd then turn northerly, Mahalich Beinam. He would walk between these two curtains, Ad Shemagil at Tzafon, until he would get to the northern edge. He gil at Tzafon, when he reached the northern edge, Hoifech Ponav Ladarm, he would then make an about face inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then again walk south, Mahalich L'Smoiloi Im HaParoch, to his left arm, to his left side, he would be walking along the inner edge of the curtain, the inner edge of the inner curtain, with the curtain to his left, Ad Shemagil L'Aron, until he got to the Aron, the Holy Ark, The Holy Ark also had poles that were attached to it. And the Holy Ark is basically, we'll say, superficially speaking, was centrally located. So he would walk halfway back in a southerly direction. Higil Aron, when he reached that point, Noisin es ha-machta bein shnei habadim. He would then place the pan of coals, the machta was the pan holding the coals, he would place that between the two poles that were attached to the Aron. Sovar es haktores al gabi gecholim. Sovar is an interesting word. We had, it's a reference to a sukkah that we had before, the form in which he placed the incense on the coals. So tsovar means he piled it up, as opposed to scattering them thin over all of the coals. He piled them up on the coals. V'nismale kol abayas kul oshon, and the chamber filled with the smoke of the incense. Yotza uba loy baderech beis knisoso. He exited the Kodesh Kodashim by retracing his steps. And that's what Bolo Bederech Beis Knisoso means. He basically retraced his steps, walking with his face toward the Aron. As he was walking, would in effect be walking backwards, walking away from the Aron, retracing his steps. Umispalot Filo Ketzor B'Bayis Achitzon, and he then would say a short prayer in the Bayis, in the outer chamber. It's a reference to the Heichal. V'loho Yamarach B'Tfiloso, he wouldn't tarry or say a long prayer. Shalahavis es Yisrael, so as not to lahavis means to scare the rest of the people, because activity in the Kodesh Kodashim had to be done just so, had to be done accurately. Otherwise, instant death could have been visited upon the Kohen Gadol. We'll have to say it was a type of very sensitive or almost dangerous activity, in the sense that you had to do things just right, so that if he would tarry in there, people would start getting worried. So the prayer that he said was brief. The Gemara wants to know about the time period of this Mishnah. Was it during the first temple period or the second temple period? And you'll notice that in discussing this, the Gemara opens with a rather long question. B'mai askinon, we've double underlined the possibilities. E lema, if you say the Mikdash Rishon, that is a reference to the first Beis HaMikdash period, then mi have poroches, was there a curtain? We mentioned before there was a wall that we call the Amo Traxin. So our Mishnah makes reference to a curtain, seemingly not the first Beis HaMikdash. Elo b'Mikdash Sheni, well then you'll tell me it's reference to the second temple. Mi have Oron, was there a holy ark in the second temple? In fact, there was no presence of the Oron in the second Beis HaMikdash. V'Hotanya, and we're adding to the question, was there an Oron? There wasn't. V'Hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Now, there's a lot of information in this source. What we want to draw your attention to are the dashed underlining. And in Gemara markings, this is one of the great features of Gemara markings, that you're able to focus on the main point and not allow all of the tangential information to throw you off track. So in this source, what have we dashed underline? You see, umi gunzo. Gunzo means it was buried away, was hidden away. You see, Yoshio gunzo. That tells you. Yoshio was a king in the latter part of the first temple period. That means already at the time of Yoshio HaMelech, the Oron was put out of circulation. It was hidden away. So in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Oron. And as we said, that's the heart of the question. There's a lot of other information here, but by the time you get down to the end of the long question, you see the Gemara, another double underline, you see that, and it says, Li'oilam B'mikdash. At that point, the Gemara comes to a conclusion that we are talking about the second temple. And then the issue is, so if our Mishnah is talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, what is the reference to the Oron in our Mishnah? There is no Oron. The Gemara will explain that later. So now we continue in the Gemara. We said, was there an Oron in the second Beis HaMikdash? V'hot Tanya, we begin the Tanaic source. Misha Nignaz Oron, when the Oron was hidden away, Nignazo Imo, there was put away together with it four other items. Sincenes Hamon, the flask containing the sample mon that the Torah orders to be put away. Utsluchis Shemen HaMishkan, a flask containing the anointing oil. Umaklui Shel Aaron Ushketeo Frachel, and the staff of Aaron, including its blossoms. Its fruit shkedel, its fruit and its blossoms. The argos sheshagru plishtim doron leelokei Yisrael, and a box that the Philistines sent to the Jewish people after they had captured and subsequently returned the oron to the Jewish people. There was also a box that contained, that they had placed into it, some gold, we'll say gold gifts for right now. For further detail, by all means, look up the psukim. But for our purposes, we're just interested in listing off the items. This box was also part of the items hidden away. This is the argos, reading again, Sheshagru plishtim doron, doron is a gift, Lelek Yisrael, to the Lord of Israel. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'es klei hazav asher hashevosem loy, hashevosem osham." Osham is the gift that they sent back to the Jews. Tosimu bo'argos, you place the golden vessels in this box mitzido, next to the oron that they were returning. And it shall be sent back. And there's a whole very interesting and miraculous event that took place in the return of the Oron. But the Posuk makes reference to the box being mitzido, next to the Oron. This is the basis of the opening statement that together with the Oron was the box. The box that the Plishtim sent. And it's also pointed out that there is an opinion that there was a Sefer Torah that was placed on top of this box in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Umi Gonzo, and who is responsible for it being hidden away? Answer, Yoshio Gonzo. And he was, as we emphasized before, he was at the end of the Bias Rishon period. Ma Rosh and Gonzo, what did he see fit to, what made him, what motivated him to hide them away? Ra shekosuv, he noticed the pasuk in Sefer Dvorim that says, Yerlech Hashem oyiskov es malkecho asher tokim olecho, a pasuk referring to an eventual exile. And it should be pointed out that up till that point in Jewish history, once the Jews entered the land of Israel together with Yehoshua in the time of Joshua, all through the first temple period, even though some of the tribes had been exiled previously, but the entirety of the Jewish, to speak about the entirety of Jewish people being exiled, that did not take place. So he saw this. In his time, futuristic pasuk, that there would be an exile. So Omad v'gonzo, he didn't want the Aron to fall into the hands of the Babylonians that would eventually exile the Jews. So he took the initiative and hid it away. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayomer la'levim ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael ha'kadoshim l'shem tenu es Aron ha'kodesh b'bayis shebon ha'shlomo ben David melech Yisrael. Levim were addressed, and they were instructed to take the Oron and put it in the house that Shlomo HaMelech built. Now, it was always in the house that Shlomo HaMelech built. What does it mean, put it in the house? So, it means to put it deep into the house, so it's hidden away. As we're continuing in the text, We said Asher Bono Shlomo ben David Melch Yisrael Ein lochem maseh bekosef ato Ivdu es Hashem Elokechem ves amo Yisrael. And you no longer have any role of carrying vessels as you did in the Exodus from Mitzrayim. That's the end of the source. So the pasuk we just read made a specific reference to the hiding away of the Oroin, the Omar Rebbe Lozer. How do you know regarding the other items that were hidden away? So that's a function of we call it Gzera Shava, or word connections. Rashi goes through how the word connections take place. We are not going to get into the details. All we're going to read right now are the word connections. That means we'll be connecting through these words each one of the items: the Aron, Tzitzenes Hamon, Suchas Shemen HaMishcha, Maklish Aron, and the Argas of the Plishtim. Asya Shama Shama. Asya means it comes forth. This comes, this word connection of the words Shama, V'Asya Doros Doros, V'Asya Mishmeres Mishmeres. And as we said, you can look into Rashi for the actual psukim connecting the items. We've reached the end of a long question, and it's very simple. What time period is our Mishnah talking? Our Mishnah makes reference to a curtain in a Beis HaMikdash, together with the presence of the Aron. Well, the two don't seem to join up with one another. If there's a curtain, it's Second Temple. Second Temple, no Aron. If there is an Aron, so it's Second Temple, there's no curtain. There would be if there's an Aron, so it's First Temple, First Beis HaMikdash, there was no curtain, there was a wall. The Oilom B'Mikdash Sheni. The Mishnah is referring to Second Beis HaMikdash period. Umai Higiel Aron. And we have a little arrow, notice. You can align this with the arrow above. What does Higiel Aron mean in the Mishnah? If you're telling me that the Mishnah is clearly talking about Second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron. What does it mean he reached the Aron? Mokoim Aron. He reached the place that the Aron would have been. Question. The Ha-Kotoni Nosan Es HaMachto LeBein Shnei Habadim. It says in our Mishnah that he placed the pan of coals between the two poles attached to the Aron. So there was an actual Aron in our Mishnah. One says, no. Amo kibbein. The chof is important. We've emphasized it with our markings. Kibbein shnei habana means approximately in the area that would have been between the two poles. There were no two poles. There was no Aron. He placed it on the floor, estimating a point on the floor that would have been between the two poles had the holy ark with its poles been there. But it wasn't. It was the Second Beis HaMikdash. We continue with a new discussion. On the side of the Gemara under our Nosei heading, we have written, Eich lemaise kohen gadol sover hakteres ala gecholim. How, in practical terms, did the Kohen Gadol place the Ketores on the coals? The Gemara continues, quoting from the Mishnah, Tzavar as Ketores al Gabi Gecholim. We dash on it, Tzavar means he piled them up, as opposed to scattering at a thin layer over the coals. Rather, the Ketores was piled up in a type of, call it a type of ridge of incense placed over the coals. Tanan keman d'omar tsovra. Our Mishnah reflects the opinion that's one of two deos that were brought and that were presented in a Tanaic source back on Mem Tesomid Beis, how the, in what form or what fashion the incense was placed over the coals, either in a piled fashion, sovra, or mefazra in a scattered, thin layer fashion. So our Mishnah supports the opinion that it was in a piled up fashion. Tani Chada. Now this is another issue, but directly related to the placing of the incense over the coals. We're working with the idea that it wasn't scattered a thin layer over all the coals, but rather was piled over them. The question is, this ridge of incense that was piled on the coals, he was as we learned earlier, he was holding the Ktoras in his hands full. His hands were cupped together with the incense filling his hands. We call this his hands full of incense, which was a type of granular, powdery substance. And he has to pile it on coals that are basically beneath him. Does he start his hand movement starting next to his body, like up close to his chest, we'll say, and then moving further away toward the, we'll call it in a westerly direction, would be toward where the Aron would have been? Or does he start with his hands already at a distance from himself, moving inwards? Those are the two possibilities. We have two sources. Tani Chada. One source says, Tzovra Pnimo Shehi Chutza Lo. That means he would start the edge of the Machta that is further away from him, and draw his hands inwards, releasing all the time, releasing some of the Torahs, creating a ridge. So this approach, it says Sovra Pnima. Pnima is inwards. Well, what is inwards? It means in toward the, further in toward the Holy of Holies, toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In which would start from that that edge of the coal pan. As far as he is concerned, it's the far away edge, but it's the edge closest to where the Aron would have been. That's why it's called Pnim. It's facing, Pnim means facing inwards, but it's inwards in terms of facing in toward the Aron, and then working with his hands, moving toward himself. So the source one says Sovra Pnima means it would start piling, creating the ridge at the edge of the coal pan closest toward the Aron, Shihutzolo, which is far away from him, and working his way inwards. The Tanya Idach, another source, says just the opposite. Sovra Chutza Shi Pnimalo. He would start the piling, moving his hands away from him, but where the starting point was Pnimalo, which was close inwards, closest to his body. But he's starting closest to his body, moving his hands over the coals, with his, as a person moves his cupped hands further away, so his arms, his arms and his elbows start moving inwards, closer to one another and over the fire. So we're making that point for a very deliberate reason. So we have two sources. Omar Abaye. Abaye says, Tanoihi. This is a machlokes tanoim. It would seem quite obvious. That's what we just saw. That it's machlokes tanoim. The Omar Abaye. But commenting on this, Abaye says, Mistabro kemadomar pnimo shichutzolo. It's more likely the first opinion, which means he would start further away. His hands are cupped, and at that point his arms, his elbows are rather close to one another, but from that point onwards they're drawing his hands, of course, he keeps cupped together, but since he's moving his arms toward himself, the gap between his arms is constantly increasing, and this is more beneficial for him, as we will see. It says that approach is more likely, Disnan. It says, Malamdin Oisoi, they teach the Kohen Gadol, he's Zoyer, be careful, Shelo Taschil Miponecha, don't start from right next to you, Shemotichva, because you might burn yourself. So that we train him to start with his hands cupped far away, moving inwards all the time. That way, from the very beginning, your arms are moving away from being directly over the heat of the coals and the smoke. Rashi says at the top line, Shem Oticha, for fear of he might get burnt. Shakturis, Shitzavarta Litzitcha, the incense that you piled up by your side, Boeres Tamid, it's burning. Uzracho, Hamispashe, Holech, Lahalon, Vaholech, Lahalon, Nichve, Betimur Oila. Means if he would, for example, have started next to himself, and as soon as he drops or deposits some torus on the coals, it starts to burn. So if his hands are in a direction moving away from him, so what is underneath his arms? There's burning ketores, as opposed to if he would start dropping the ketores at a point distant away from him, he is moving his hands away from the ketores that is starting to burn. So he's distancing himself constantly from the burning incense. And hence, that would be the better approach in conformity to this Tanaic source that tells him to be careful and avoid getting burnt. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.